It's my great honor and pleasure to be with all of you this evening. My special gratitude to Ajay and Swati for organizing this wonderful event and opening the doors to your wonderful home office for us to come. And to Shikantaji for coming. And to each and every one of you, thank you for your wonderful offering in the form of your dance. Here in Mumbai, there are countless Mataji has come. Wonderful to see you. So many opportunities to spend your Friday night. But that you have chosen to be here, thank you. My special gratitude also to Harper Element, a imprint of HarperCollins, who has just recently published the book, Journey Within. Everyone is looking for happiness. Everyone is looking for peace. The Bhagavad Gita teaches us that real intelligence is to seek happiness, inspiration, enlightenment, and peace within ourselves. If we cannot find it there, we cannot find true, fulfilling, sustainable peace or happiness anywhere. It is the nature of the world that the mind and senses are looking for the satisfaction of the heart through so many external experiences, through sensual pleasures, through accumulation of wealth, power, prestige. Things can give some sense of satisfaction to the mind and senses, but things can never give fulfillment to the heart. And true happiness is a state of the heart. If a little child, parents have no time to show their love, but dress her in nice clothes. She looks pretty, but lives in misery. Our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, used an example. If you decorate the cage of a bird very wonderfully, but forget to feed the bird is going to suffer. These are simple analogies, but they very much define human civilization all over the world today. People are so concerned with fulfilling external temptations, desires, but forget where their real happiness is, within ourselves. I was born in the United States of America, Chicago. But throughout my life, I was trying to understand why in the name of liberty is there so much prejudice and oppression. Racism, bigotry. Why in the name of a loving God is there so much hatred and arrogance? I was troubled. And so many pleasures are there, so many ways of enjoying getting intoxicated. It's just putting these problems on a shelf. They don't go away. So as I became a teenager, I needed to find answers, directions. I became a social activist. I became a peace activist. I became a civil rights and counterculture activist. But I saw the same problems there and came to a conclusion. It's the conclusion that Mahatma Gandhi taught long ago. Be the change you want to see in the world. In fact, that's posted in the Mumbai airport. That change needs to be spiritual. We're exploiting the ecology of the earth around us because the ecology of our own way of thinking, of our hearts, is polluted. Polluted by greed, envy, lust for selfish fulfillment, arrogance, this insidious, ridiculous need to feel ourselves better than others. In so many ways. The solution I believed was spiritual. And I searched various religions, various spiritual paths, various cultural, artistic expressions leading to truth. And ultimately, I came to India. I hitchhiked from London. It took about 6 months. And I studied so many things on the way from so many people. And I can say, the first moment I was in India, it wasn't easy getting through the border. When I finally passed through, it was nighttime, and I was just walking through some fields near Ferozpur in Punjab. There was nobody around. I was all alone. I looked up at the stars. I could see the moonlight reflecting off trees. I didn't even see a road. I was walking through a field. I lost my way. And I had no money. And I didn't know a single person in India. I hadn't yet even eaten a chili pepper in my whole life. But I never felt so at home. I felt each star, each branch of every tree. The earth I was walking on was like my mother embracing me. I felt so at home. I was living under trees, but I felt more at home than in any house. There was some magic about the culture of India. Even before I spoke to a single person here, I had that experience. Traveled through the Himalayas, and eventually by a power that was far beyond my own, I reached Vrindavan. In fact, the 46th anniversary of my arriving in Vrindavan takes place on Janmashtami this year. And there, Radha, Krishna, how they captured my heart. The teachings of the Gita, Bhagavad Gita, the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, the path of bhakti, or devotion, where the highest realization of the one supreme truth, the cause of all causes, is understood through loving reciprocation. Sarva yoni shakonteya murteya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahajonir aham bija pratapita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells that all the universes and all living beings, they are all coming from one source. That the Supreme Truth is the Father and Mother of all living beings. That conception, if we just understand it, it resolves practically every problem of the world. Life is sacred. Whoever Sanatana Dharma is to understand this principle, that we are eternal parts of the one supreme truth, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. I learned many of these principles from many great masters in my travels. In Vrindavan, the concept of bhakti, where dharma, yoga, religion, its goal and fulfillment is in awakening the true potential of the Atma, the soul. Sri Chaitanya, he gave a simple teaching. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabu Noi Sravanadi Sudhichiti Kodiye Udvai. That the real fulfillment, Anandam Buddhivaradhanam Pratipadam Punamritasvadanam, the happiness, the ananda we're looking for, is within ourself. Because love for Krishna, Krishna Prema, is within us. In fact, it is within the soul, the Atma, of every living being. By associating satsang with people who are striving for that wealth, and from those who have attained that wealth, and by chanting God's names, can be awakened. It's not, as Srila Prabhupada, our guru, used to tell us often, that Krishna consciousness or God consciousness is not an imposition on our mind. It's the original natural energy of our true self, Jiv Jago. It needs to be uncovered and awakened. I found that our countless longings, our insatiable desires, our inevitable frustrations, they're all coming from a single origin. We have forgotten the love and the happiness that is within our own selves. Bhakti is the path of love, the path where by living in a spirit of love, of compassion, we awaken the love that is within us. Here in Maharashtra, many great saints, Tukaram, Namdev, they live by this principle. They awakened by their influence this love through bhakti in great kings, as well as simple villagers and scholars and illiterates. I found that path in Vrindavan. And by the grace of my guru, I found the greatest meaning and purpose in my life in sharing that love. It's not my love, it's our love. It's God's love. in whatever we do. There is a story that I narrate within the Journey Within. It is a story I heard many years ago when I was on a pilgrimage in South India. There is an island in the Kaveri River named Srirangam. On that island is a temple. The complex is over 150 acres. It's the largest temple in all of India. And millions of pilgrims go there every year, and they've been doing this for over 1,000 years. That temple was especially established through the education of bhakti by one of the great saints and scholars of motherland India's tradition. His name, Ramanujacharya. It's especially auspicious to discuss him tonight because this year marks his 1,000th birthday. Today, he still, 1,000 years later, he has tens of millions of devoted followers in his sampradaya. His immediate successor was named Parasara. When Parasara was just a 5-year-old boy, an interesting event took place. In Srirangam, the champion debate master came to Srirangam for the purpose of challenging others. He was undefeated. In those days, over 900 years ago, India wasn't so concerned with cricket or soccer or any of these things. What to speak of computer engineering? The real sport was debate. And if you could defeat others in debate, you were truly a recognized hero, a celebrity, a champion. So this man was so good. Sometimes it is said that whenever he opened his mouth, goddess Saraswati would appear to speak through his tongue. But he was so arrogant. He came into Srirangam. He was on a palanquin, beautifully decorated, and people were carrying it. And there were Brahmins chanting mantra in front of him, and there were bands playing different invocational music. And they were calling out that the world champion, great debater, has come. There is no question he cannot answer. He's challenging everyone here. And most of the scholars ran away because they knew he would humiliate them. The little 5-year-old Parasara, he ran up to him. And he was looking up at the palanquin. This man was very dressed in elegance. He looked down. And Parasara said, "I have a question for you." He couldn't believe. He said, "I am scholar. I debate with scholars. You are but a child. Your mother's breast milk is still on your face. Get out from here." The little child said, if you are so learned, then why is it that you're thinking about the size of my body? You're supposed to know that we're all eternal souls. Why are you identifying with my body? I have a question for you." The man said, "I have defeated the greatest, most learned pundits in all the land. What is your question? The little boy reached down and picked up a handful of sand, held it up, and said, "How many grains of sand is in my hand?" This pundit was not expecting a question like this. He didn't know how to answer. He was confused. In those moments of his confusion, little Parasara said that true knowledge gives one the capacity to see the unity of all life and to respect all living beings. A really learned person who has the fruits of knowledge is like a tree that has so many fruits that naturally the whole tree is bowing down to everyone. But a tree that has no fruits is standing thinking it's very high, like you. If all your knowledge does not bring you respect for others, amani manana, amani namanadena, and doesn't bring devotion to God, it is as worthless as this sand. And he threw the sand. Now, if another scholar would have said that to him, he would have become furious. But because these words were spoken by a small child, they penetrated his heart so deeply, he came off his palanquin and bowed to Parasara, the child, and said, "I want to be your disciple." Years later, when Parasara grew up, he had another disciple. This disciple asked him a question. "What are the qualities I should develop in order to know truly who I am?" Parasara's first lesson was humility. An acharya teaches by example. Parasara said, in order to answer this question appropriately, you need to be self-realized. I am not self-realized, but I can tell you who to go to. In the forest of Tirupati is a true saint named Anantacharya. Ask him this question. He can give you the perfect answer. Now, in those days, there were no trains or planes or cars, not even rickshaws. You had to walk where you wanted to go. This is about 950 years ago. Tirupati was 400 miles away. He walked those 400 miles. He had to cross so many rivers. He had to walk alone through jungles that were infested with tigers, poison snakes, leopards, panthers, and lots of mosquitoes. Then he had to climb 7 mountains. And finally, he came to the mountaintop retreat hermitage of Anantacharya. Anantacharya greeted him, gave him some prasad, gave him a simple little hut to sleep in. The next morning he asked, "My guru Parasara, he has sent me to you with this question that's burning in my heart. What are the qualities required to understand truly who I am?" Ananta smiled and said, "Let me think about it. I will answer later." This person was really eager, Because eagerness is important. In Ayurveda, digestion is necessary for good health because we can't assimilate the nutrients in food unless we have appetite. So similarly, we can't really assimilate knowledge unless we have a hunger to learn and to hear. So every day he was waiting for the answer. He was doing little services, menial seva. He was listening to classes, prabachan. He was doing his meditation, chanting God's names. 6 months passed. His question was not directly addressed. Finally, Anantacharya invited the people from all around the villages to a festival. And he prepared so much prasad. And this particular student, he was serving the prasad. He served hundreds and hundreds of people. And then he sat down to eat himself. And Anantacharya saw him and said, "So many others are coming. Please feed them before you eat." Then he fed the next batch of hundreds of people. He sat down to eat. Anantacharya said, "There's another batch coming. Please serve them." He served the third batch, the fourth batch, the fifth batch. Finally, it was late at night, and the whole field was empty. He hadn't eaten all day. He sat down with his plate of prasad and was just about to eat. And Anantacharya came up to him. There was no more people for him to tell him to feed. Anantacharya said, "If I remember, you had a question for me. What is your question?" The man jumped up. He said, "What are the qualities that we need to assimilate to understand who we truly are?" Anantacharya replied, "We should be like salt. We should be like a chicken and like a crane. And we should also be like you. That is all I have to say." And then he walked away. The student was thinking, "I waited 6 months for that answer." He was respectfully bewildered. That's the answer. So he packed his little bag and he walked down the seven mountains and went through the jungles 400 miles back to Srirangam. He saw Parasara. Parasara asked him, "Did you get the answer to your question?" He said, "Yes." Parasara said, "Please tell me, what did the great saint Anantacharya tell you?" He said, it's confusing. He said, "We should be like salt, chickens, and cranes, and like me." Parasara clapped his hands and jumped up. Now he's an elderly, saintly person. He said, "What a perfect answer. It's so comprehensive, it includes everything." The man said, "I don't understand. What does it mean?" Parasara smiled. He said, "Let me explain to you the fathomless wisdom of Anantacharya. We should be like salt. Please raise your hand if in your life you ever were thinking like this. I want to be like salt. Every day we experience salt. But how many lessons that are going to transform our life are we getting from that salt? If there's too much salt in a preparation or too little salt in a preparation, it's not satisfying. The salt has to be balanced, just the right amount. Similarly, if we want to truly understand who we are, we have to be balanced in our life. This is a primary teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna tells, those who are on this path do not eat too much, and they do not eat too little. They do not sleep too much, they do not sleep too little. Those who are on this path are balanced in recreation, in work, and in spiritual practices. To live a balanced life. Satsang, sadhana, sadachar. We all have our work. We have our families. We need to take care of our bodies, our health. We also have our spiritual health. To balance all of them carefully so they're all integrated is the path of Dharma. When complicated problems come in our life, challenges, the Gita teaches us also to have a balanced approach. The tendency is to go to extremes. It's so easy to go to extremes because you don't have to think about it. You have to be thoughtful. You have to be realized to actually find a balanced approach to the complications of this world, our families, our society, and our own selves. Balance is crucial. We could learn that from salt. Another characteristic of salt is it's invisible, but it does so much. When you taste a nice preparation, salt gives so much of the flavor. But how many people praise the salt? We'll praise the cook. We'll praise the nature, the taste of the grains, the taste of the vegetables, the taste of the spices. But when was the last meal you went to where you said, the salt in this is fabulous? The salt gives so much flavor, but never expects recognition. And similarly, Parasara said, a yogi, a person who's truly situated in Dharma, wants to do so much for the satisfaction of God, for the satisfaction of all living beings, but is not demanding or expecting credit himself, but is really happy to give credit to others. And to the Supreme Source, Krishna tells in Gita, I am the intelligence of the intelligence. I am the strength of the strong. I am all the abilities in men and women. We're caretakers. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, whatever wealth, whatever power, whatever influence, whatever abilities, it's God's property. It's entrusted to us. As caretakers, to utilize whatever we have in a spirit that samsudhir haritoshanam, that pleases the Supreme Beloved. And what pleases the Supreme Beloved is when we share. Every parent, their greatest happiness is to see the children share with each other. That's Dharma. Another quality of salt is it melts into the preparation. It merges and loses its own separate identity from the preparation. And in the same way, what is it that separates our hearts from each other? Our caste, our nationality, our educational level, our particular ideologies. It's ahankar. It's the ego. When we transcend, when we go beyond our ego, then like salt, then we can actually experience real relationships, a real oneness and affection and love with God and with other living beings. And a chicken. What do we learn from chicken? How many people have ever praised you by saying, "You are like a chicken"? Well, after tonight's class, if anybody ever says, "You're a chicken," you'll think, "Oh, thank you very much." The lesson of a chicken is if it goes to a heap of garbage, it will select the nourishing seeds within that pile and eat the seeds and leave all the trash behind. So similarly, the quality of a saintly person or those who are striving to be so is saragrahi janardana. To seek the essence. Because everybody has good qualities, and in this Kali Yuga, everyone has bad qualities too. When my beloved Guru Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he was in the Lower East Side of New York, then he went to Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco, and the people there, they really, from the perspective of a great saint and pundit from Vrindavan, were very distracted people. But he saw a little spark of the potential to love Krishna, to love God in everyone. And he fanned that spark. And in doing so, because he saw the potential in us that we never saw, he could help us to overcome all the trash of the arrogance and the immoralities and everything else that's there. Anyone can criticize. But yet, under the influence of the ego, we think that this makes us great and superior to others when I have the power to condescend and criticize others. But like a chicken, when we can actually see the good in others. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a great Vaishnava saint, he said, "I see faults in others because I am honeycombed with faults in myself." Or, as it is commonly explained, when you point one finger to blame someone else, we should notice there's three fingers pointing toward me. How to improve ourselves. Of course, it's necessary sometimes to find faults in others to benefit them. And sometimes to protect others from that influence. But it's for benefit. It's not to bring people down. It's not that we enjoy it. And similarly, in our own religion, In our own spiritual path, we should be seeking the essence, not the sectarian distractions of the rituals. And as far as a crane is a bird that stands on one leg in a river or a stream of water and is looking down with its long pointed beak. And so many little fish are passing. And the crane is just watching the fish pass. Dozens of fish, hundreds of fish, thousands of little fish are passing, and he's just patiently watching. As soon as a big fish comes, he feasts on the big fish. Now, we don't eat fish. But the principle of this story is very important. Our tendency is to be distracted by little things, to get an anxiety about little things, to get in quarrels and conflict with other people, even our loved ones, about little things. But you see, if you don't understand what the really big important things in life and you're not looking for those, then the little fish seem like big fish. The tendency is to see pebbles as insurmountable as mountains. But if we're looking for the real mountain, then we see the pebbles for what they are and deal with them. So we're endlessly distracted in this world by little things, and we think they're so important. But through satsang, we understand what's really important in life. Who really am I? What is the goal? What is really going to make me happy? How am I going to really make others happy? Those are the big things. Then all the little things we quarrel about and we're frustrated about that are just like little fish passing by, let them pass. Deal with them, but don't get disturbed by them. And what's really important, that's what we should focus on. That is Sanatan Dharma. Parasara said, and as far as you waited 6 months for this answer with enthusiasm and service. And then you served so many people during that feast day, and you put yourself after them. This is a quality that is necessary, the quality of seva, an enthusiasm, a patience, and an eagerness to serve. Because the heart is like a field. And true knowledge is like a seed. Unless the field of the heart is tilled and fertile through gratitude, through humility, through eagerness, then the seed of knowledge is not going to sprout and blossom into the flower of realization and direct experience. Parasara told his student, just see, what have we learned from Anantacharya? That the most precious lessons of life, if we just have an open heart, we could learn them from such common experiences as salt, as a chicken, as a crane, or through the behavior of others, which are daily experiences. Satsang is when we associate with those who inspire us. those who keep us focused on the true goal of life. Sadhana is to give special quality time for that journey within ourselves, to nourish our hearts, to nourish our souls. Through meditation, through prayer, through puja. And in this age of Kali, the most powerful sadhana is Harinam Kirtan, the chanting of God's names. When we are nourished by our sadhana, when we have good directions by the people around us, the saints, then sadachar, then we integrate that wonderful blessing in everything we do. We earn with integrity. We spend with compassion. Then the true joy of our life is seva. And how we can make a positive difference, physical, emotional, and spiritual, to uplift others. There is no greater joy to the heart and the soul than seva. King Prataparudra was a great king of Orissa, and he attained the highest perfection when, during the Jagannath Rath Yatra, he would come out every year with a broom and he would sweep the street. Sweep the street for the pleasure of Jagannath, and sweep the street for the happiness of all the people that were assembled, so that they wouldn't be stepping on stones and like that. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. Being the servant of the servant of the servant. Whether we're kings, whether we're billionaires, whether we're millionaires, whether we're middle class, whether we're male or female, whether we're scholars or illiterate, whether we're living in little villages, those are all technicalities. The spirit that we learn to respect in others is their humility, their morality, their love for God, and their eagerness to serve others. This is a journey within. Thank you very much.